On Sunday, December 24th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents its second installment of the Winter Jazz Festival coverage by presenting a tribute to Jerry Allen. Join us as we talk to several former Sugar guests as they share their remembrances of Jerry Allen. That's Sunday, December 24th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl's the name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones. And tonight's program is part two of our Winter Jazz preview programming. It will focus on pianist, composer, bandleader Jerry Allen, who transitioned this past June. There will be a tribute to Jerry Allen as part of the Winter Jazz Festival on January 15th. We'll open the show after our theme with "This is the closest I've come to playing holiday music during this period," Jerry Allen's version of "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," which is a big favorite of mine, from her "A Child is Born" release. Stay tuned. Sugar in My Bowl, starting now.
Daddy, come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones. I'm on the line with...
My name is Aura Harris, and I was manager for the late, great Jerry Allen for the last 28 years. Light and a pleasure.
When I interviewed you some years back, you had mentioned that you had met Jerry Allen by way of Betty Carter.
That is correct. Betty Carter had talked to me about a year about this young female jazz pianist that she'd heard and had been listening to and just thought she was wonderful, which was a big surprise to me to hear from Betty, because Betty never really played and worked with a female jazz artist. It was always men, young men, old men, never female. But she was very, very impressed about Jerry Allen. So much so, until in 1990, she recorded with Jerry Allen on her CD called Dropping Things. It was a live recording at the Bottom Line. And then again in 1994 with Betty Carter, Feed the Fire, which is a tune of Jerry Allen's. And Betty named her album Feed the Fire, which was a really big deal for Betty Carter. And for me, it spoke volumes of Jerry Allen and who she was to get that much interest and excitement from Betty Carter.
How did you decide that you would work with Jerry Allen?
Well, Betty Carter made that decision, of course.
Okay.
Betty Carter had her organization called Bet Carr, and it was an organization that was run by both Betty and I. And she called me one day, I think it was either late 1988 or early 1990, I'm not sure of that date. She said that she would like very much if Jerry Allen could be on our label, Bet Carr, for management and bookings. And she agreed that that's what we should do, and we did. And Jerry Allen, we've been together ever since. I guess maybe 28, 29 years.
How did this Winter Jazz Fest tribute come about with the participation of Terry Lynn Carrington?
I received a call from Terry Lynn saying that she had been in conversation with Bryce Rosenblum and that he had expressed interest in doing a tribute celebration of Jerry Allen, a part of the Winter Jazz Fest in January. And I thought that was a wonderful idea. Terry thought it was a wonderful idea. Jana Hurton, the president of Motema Records, were involved also. And we start having conference calls once a week to discuss the possibility of making it happen and gathering musicians to perform at this wonderful celebration. And now it's a reality. It will take place on January 15th at the New School. And we're extremely excited about it because so many wonderful musicians has agreed to participate.
So the last question, what would you like people to take away from attending the tribute and knowing about Jerry Allen?
Well, I like to think that the people are coming to the event have a clue of who Jerry Allen is and the importance of Jerry Allen. And I like to think of the people that have paid a fee to come to this show would like to help keep the legacy of Jerry Allen alive. And their being there at the event, to me, will help express strongly Jerry Allen's place in the history of jazz.
Organizations Jerry Allen participated in, like the Mary Lou Williams, do you know whether her legacy sort of continues with that? Or?
Well, I would, with the Mary Lou Williams Foundation specifically, mm-hmm. like to think so, because Father O'Brien put both Jerry Allen and Carmen Lundy involved with that foundation after he passed.
Okay.
So Jerry had a strong impact on that, as you know, and keeping that name alive for Mary Lou Williams and Father O'Brien. So I'm sure something will happen thereafter, but nothing has been solidified at this time.
Okay.
And Jerry, of course, was in the process of making sure that all happened without question mm-hmm. up until her strong health issues. But I am sure that that's something that will follow through with her estate, along with her brother, who's very much aware of Jerry Allen and the Mary Lou Williams Foundation.
Well, thank you so much, Aura Harris, for sharing this information, and hopefully you'll be in New York for the tribute at the Winter Jazz
Festival. Yes, I will. I'm so excited. All of those wonderful musicians, Joyce, that's going to be there, that agreed to come and be a part of this in the name of Jerry Allen. And it's all about the love for Jerry, and it's just so exciting to have so many wonderful people sharing and caring about Jerry Allen. And let me put Terry Lynn. Terry Lynn is my hero. She's wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Aura Harris. Great
Thank
day.
You, Joyce. Bye.
Yeah, women have always been very much a part of my life, and I don't mean just from a sexual point of view, but in a very beautiful, wonderful way, actually. I got involved with Carl Jung, and he coined a phrase called the anima animus. And the anima is the female counterpart of the male self. The animus is the male counterpart of the female self. So from that point on, I always felt that men should learn more about that, the female part of themselves, the soft side of themselves.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones. I'm on the line with
Terry Lynn Carrington.
Terry Lynn Carrington, thank you for joining me right now. I'm calling you with regard to the Jerry Allen tribute that's happening at the Winter Jazz Festival. Mm-hmm. I understand the thought came into the mind of Bryce Rosenblum. Could you tell me where you came in?
Well, he contacted me about doing it and basically asked me to help put it together and overall producing it together, him and myself and Jana from Latima and Aura Harris, who managed Jerry.
Right. What was your introduction to Jerry Allen? When did you first meet her and what was that like?
Well, I met her when I was, about 14 or so. I went down to Howard University where she was a student. I kind of actually gave a drum clinic. And then we played during that trip. We played at a club called One Step Down with Keeter Betts. He put this together, and she was amazing, as you can imagine. We had a long association after that. We both moved to New York around the same time. She was before me a little bit, but I think we were kind of cutting our teeth around the same time.
What is your most memorable moment with Jerry Allen, if there's such a thing?
Wow, yeah.
If you can choose
one.
Right.
Yeah, definitely could never pick one. She just played so great all the time. And I think just the trio that we did with Esperanza Spalding and her and myself, I think those were highlights for me, some of those shows. We did quite a bit of touring. I'm not sure. I think maybe it was 2013 in Europe and in the States. And I think that was a real highlight for me because we really found some synergy because of the time that we were sharing together.
Well, I definitely am grateful that I was able to catch one of the dates at Village Vanguard because that was sort of like Jerry Allen's club home.
Right, right. Yeah, we played there three times.
What would you like other people to remember about Jerry Allen?
Well, she had a very distinct voice on the piano, and she was an original. As soon as you hear her play within a bar, so you know it's her. Her touch on the instrument, her sound, you know, was original and distinct. The piano is a hard instrument, I believe, to know somebody from just by their touch. And just the way she touched the piano was really something. You could tell that it was an extension of her. That was her home. She was so natural at it. I remember one time at a rehearsal, Esperanza and I were watching her rehearse with some other people because it was like a big production. And she was giving directions to the band, like telling them where to go, what to do while they were sort of playing this piece. And she just played some of the most incredible lines while she was talking. And I'll never forget that because it really proved to me that she didn't have to think about it. She just naturally was able to connect with the instrument as an extension of her. And I think that's what we're all trying to do, be in a place where we're not thinking about what we're doing. We're one with our instrument. And she was definitely that.
About the tribute itself, is there something that you want to tell us about it specifically?
Well, yeah. It's a fundraiser for her estate, and there's a lot of people that are going to come through and play. Pianist Vijay Iyer, Helen Sung. I'm not looking at the list. So many people I have to remember.
I hear you.
Jeff Watts, Jack DeJohnette, also overall myself, Kenny Davis, James Genus, Esperanza, Nicholas Payton, Robbie Coltrane, Dee Dee Bridgewater, and Liz Wright.
Wow.
So just a lot of people. So I'm just starting to really organize all the music, and I think it's going to be an amazing evening. I'm trying to keep it as organic as possible. Let me say one more thing. We're going to do a panel discussion before that, which will be very exciting because there also will be two hosts for the evening performance, S.E. Pace Merkerson and Angela Davis.
Ah, okay.
And earlier at 2 p.m., on the same stage, we're doing a panel discussion with Angela and myself and Vijay Iyer and a couple of other people that I'm still waiting to confront. But the name of the panel is Jazz and Gender, Challenging Inequality and Forging a New Legacy.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful. I take it that that's separate and apart from this tribute.
Yeah, it's just there because it made sense for it to be there.
Oh, yeah.
But the location is the same. It's part of Winter Jazz, though, the panel.
Excellent.
And it's a panel idea Bryce had approached me about, and I helped put together.
Oh, that's perfect.
And, yeah.
And you are definitely a person that I would definitely want to hear on said panel or want to be part of said panel because you have a lot of experience across the board.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate your being on the scene and being very much like Jerry Allen, an inspiration to other musicians.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate that. I'm trying, you know. She, people like her, you know, inspired me as well. And just, you know, when I look at the amount of work Jerry did, you know, the library of music, the amount of songs, you know, she wrote, records she made, just accomplishments in general. It's a lot. You know, it's funny, you think you know somebody, but we don't always dive into somebody's life, you know, until they're gone. And I wish I had known all the stuff that I know now, you know, while she was here, so I could even praise her more.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how it goes.
Well, this tribute is taking place on Monday, January 15th. And yes, there is quite a laundry list of people. And just to name some more names, Craig Taborn on piano, Farrah Jasmine Griffin, who is a very close friend and who was my major introduction to Jerry Allen. Ingrid Jensen, who's worked with you. You've probably worked with everybody on this list at some point or another.
Yeah.
Mino Sinelu, Tia Fuller, and many, many, many other people. And it would be the greatest thing for everyone to come out on January 15th. It's going to be at the New School, Tishman Auditorium, 63 Fifth Avenue. Doors open at 7. 8 p.m. is when the show starts, and you should just plan sooner and be ready to be there. There are varying ranges for your contribution, so look into it. Go to winterjazzfest.com for more information. And thank you so much, Terry Lynn Carrington.
Thank you, Joyce. Nice talking to you.
Hi, this is Joyce Jones. I'm on the line with
Jana Herzen.
Jana Herzen, president of Motema Records. Thank you for joining Sugar and Marble.
My pleasure.
I'm calling you because during the Winter Jazz Festival, they're presenting a tribute to Jerry Allen, and I understand you have a little something to do with that. What is your
Absolutely.
Role?
Absolutely. Well, Jerry was with us on Motema Music for the last 7 years and is a very valued member of our community. And I loved her a lot personally, as well as her music just being amazing. And so Terry Lynn Carrington and Aura Harris and Bryce Rosenblum of Winter Jazz Fest, we all confabbed and said, hey, let's do a tribute to her during Winter Jazz Fest, because one thing about Winter Jazz Fest is it happens at a time when a lot of promoters from all around the world would be in town and would give them a chance to come and pay their respects as well.
What was your introduction to Jerry Allen? How did you meet her?
You know, I got a phone call from a fellow named Kunle Mwanga, who I met at a party. And Kunle was from the Bay Area, actually, originally. And he knew about me through Babatunde Lee, who was our very first signing at Motema. And Kunle wanted proposed to us that he wanted to produce 3 solo projects by Jerry. And I remember getting the phone call and telling everybody in the office, wow, Jerry Allen is knocking on our door. And it was kind of early in the development of Motema. We're hitting our 15th year now. So that would have been, I think it was our 6th year in business. And really, this label, I started it in California and then I moved to New York. And it was a little while. It was when I moved up to Harlem that we really started to connect into the New York jazz scene and started to really be known as a label. And Jerry coming to the label was a big deal for us. You know, she was so respected by the other artists, so that people were going, wow, Jerry signed with Motema. There must be something going on over there. So I was very grateful to her, and she was very happy to be at a label where she had complete artistic freedom. We let her do what she was creating. And the 3 solo projects that she brought each had an interesting concept. The first one was called Flying Towards the Sound, and that was her first solo project ever. And she was doing what she called refractions of Cecil Taylor, Herbie Hancock, and McCoy Tyner, 3 pianists that she felt very influenced by. And that project got a lot of attention as a really one of her masterpieces. Really, I hope people will take a listen to it. It's so beautiful. Then the second one, she wanted to do a Christmas project, and it was called A Child Is Born. She did a number of traditional Christmas tunes, and then she also did that song, A Child Is Born, that she then turned into a Christmas classic in her own very inimitable, off-the-side way. That record, it was mostly solo piano, but she added a few little bells and whistles to it, a little bit of chimes, and I think she had one guest on one track. Beautiful record, reviewed in the Times as holiday music that transcends the holidays. And then her third one was a tribute to her hometown of Detroit, and it was called Grand River Crossings, Motown and Motor City Inspirations.
listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar and My Bowl's the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. And we're remembering Jerry Allen this evening. What you're listening to in the background is her version of Stevie Wonder's That Girl on solo piano from her 2013 Motema music release, Grand River Crossings, Motown and Motor City Inspirations. Before that, we heard the title selection from A Child is Born, Jerry Allen's 2011 Motema music release. That's Jerry Allen on solo piano. Before that, we heard Jerry Allen again on solo piano, Dancing Mystic Poets at Dawn, Refraction 7, from Jerry Allen's 2010 Motema music release, Flying Toward the Sound. Before that, we heard The Nurturer from Murray Allen and Carrington Power Trio, from their 2016 Motema music release, Perfection. David Murray on tenor saxophone, bass clarinet on other selections. Jerry Allen on piano, she's also the composer. Terry Lynn Carrington on drums. And unfortunately, the vocalist is unknown. I'm not sure whether that's Terry Lynn Carrington singing. Before that, we heard Somebody Told a Lie. This is the Nick Ashford, Valerie Simpson song that was recorded on Terry Lynn Carrington's 2015 Concord Records release, The Mosaic Project, Love and Soul. Terry Lynn Carrington on drums, backing vocals. Jerry Allen on piano. Valerie Simpson, lead vocals. Tia Fuller on alto vocals. Linda Mahon O on bass. Rachel Z on electric piano, Rhodes. Elena Pendehues on flute, Felicia Collins and Linda Taylor on guitar, Billy D. Williams is the narrator, Amy Bellamy on organ, Tanya Darby on trumpet, and also Arnett Johnson on trumpet. Before that, we heard O Come Emmanuel, also from Jerry Allen's A Child is Born, the 2011 Motema music release, Jerry Allen on piano, concert, Celeste, and arranger of this selection, Jameo Brown, hopefully a future sugar guest, who's responsible for the vocal soundscape, engineering, and design. The sampled vocals are from the women of the G's Bend Quilt Collective. And we opened our program with our theme from Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. This can be found on the very best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This is an RCA BMG compilation, which was originally recorded in 1967. This is a 1998 compilation. Stay tuned for our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer Hank Williams and more remembrances of Jerry Allen from Dr. Farah Jasmine Griffin, pianist Vijay Iyer, Ruth Cameron Hayden, and radio personality Sheila Anderson. We'd like to thank Jerry Allen's longtime manager and friend Orr Harris, drummer and event organizer, along with Orr Harris, Terry Lynn Carrington, and Jana Herzen, president of Motema Records, who is also part of organizing the Jerry Allen event that was taking place at the New School, Tishman Auditorium, on January 15th. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues. Thank you.
and it had songs like Wanna Be Starting Something and Tears of a Clown and some songs that she wrote herself as well and some songs by Marcus Belgrave, who was her great mentor in Detroit where she first got bit by the jazz piano bug.
What is most memorable about your time with Jerry Allen?
Well, you know, the first project that we did with her was her Flying Towards the Sound, the solo piano opus, and she did it on a Fazioli piano, and she recorded it at the Fazioli dealership down on 57th Street, and she decided that she wanted to ask Carrie Mae Weems, who has since won a MacArthur Award and is a very, very prominent African-American photographer with shows at the Whitney and many things. So Carrie came to videotape Jerry and to create these sort of imaginative movies to go with Flying Towards the Sound, which you can still see online. And they had sort of women in angel wings and things like that. And the photo on the front has one of Carrie Mae Weems' photographs. And I met Jerry and Carrie Mae, and these women were just so, Carrie Mae, she's very fabulous, you know, she's dresses beautifully. And we would have these, this is my first chance to really get to know them. I went to the different recording studios and we would talk about what it is to really live life right and things going on in the world. And Jerry was always very engaged, you know, with her family. I heard about Jerry, her own path. And one day after we'd worked for a little bit, she says, Jana, this is my favorite experience on a record label. And we hadn't even put the record out yet. And I said, Jerry, maybe you should wait until we actually sell a couple copies before you say that. And she said, no, it's just my favorite experience. I just feel so good about how we're working together. And she says, you're not like any record label person I've ever met. And I said, yeah, that's probably true. But I felt very honored to have the opportunity to know her. And, you know, the last time that I actually saw her was in Charleston, South Carolina, where she had been part of a show that Carrie Mae Weems was putting together down there. And I was also down there to see Renee Marie, who had done a project to honor the Charleston Nine, the people who had been shot in the church there. And, you know, I sat with Jerry and we went to a local Charleston place and we just caught up on all kinds of things. And we were talking about future projects and things she was thinking about doing. We would always have these conversations about artistic things, what was coming up. And so I guess that stands out to me, just mostly the opportunities just to connect with her quietly over a meal and talk about the future and vision things and be part of her artistic unfolding. She used to call me the enabler. So.
Okay. So what would you like people to most remember about Jerry Allen?
Well, first, I want to say one other thing is that my experience with Jerry Allen has been inextricably tied to Ora Harris, who was her manager for many, many years. And Ora is just a wonderful lady. And she marched next to Dr. King, you know, in the civil rights movement. And she was Betty Carter's manager. Yes. And she is just a special human being. And they both loved each other very much. So I guess just the music. Ultimately, she left a wonderful legacy. And I guess I could also say that I think that a number of people who really, really looked up to Jerry and called her a mentor, and one of her first albums was called The Nurturer. And I think she really was one for many, many musicians. And, you know, a few of them got MacArthur Awards, and I feel like she was maybe looked over a little bit that way. And she was rowing it was a hard row to hoe to be a woman in the jazz world playing music she was. And I think that Jerry was really pretty much undisputably the, of women pianists, probably the most influential on the music. And many, many, many people wrote in when she passed away, including Herbie Hancock, saying how she influenced them. So she really influenced a lot of people. So her legacy is on the records that she made and in her family, of course, and in all of the pianists and other musicians who encountered her and learned something from her. She was carrying the torch of Mary Lou Williams. You know, she carried that torch, and Mary Lou Williams affected so many people and taught so many people. As a woman running a jazz record label, not that we only do jazz, we do a lot of different things, but as a woman who's supporting artists and doing their artistry, it was just a great honor to be able to stand behind Jerry and promote her and support her in what she did.
Well, thanks so much, Jana Herzen, for making the time to share this with us during this broadcast.
Great. Well, thank you so much for doing it.
Good Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for December 24th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. This week's show focuses on the late pianist Jerry Allen with reflections from several people in the jazz world who knew her well and played with her. You can see and hear all of them and many more at the tribute concert on January 15th at the New School's Tishman Auditorium, and that's affiliated with the Winter Jazz Fest. We'll have more Winter Jazz details at the bottom of the segment, but first the rest of this week's listings. We start with pianist Harold Mayburn, who leads various ensembles at Smoke through January 7th. Vibraphonist Roy Ayers is at the Iridium on December 26th and 27th. Vocalist Renee Marie is at the Jazz Standard from the 28th through the 31st. Drummer and percussionist Bobby Sanabria headlines the Bronx Music Heritage Center's New Year's Eve event on December 31st. Saxophonist TK Blue is at Newark, New Jersey's Gateway 2 Office Center for a free lunchtime concert on January 2nd. Looking a little further ahead, bassist Richard Bona leads a group at Club Bonafide on the 5th. Pianist Vijay Iyer leads a sextet at Birdland from the 9th to the 13th. Percussionist Steve Kroon leads a sextet at Smoke on the 10th. Vision Fest promoters Arts for Arts month-long Justice's Compassion Festival of Avant-Garde Jazz Visual Art and Dance is going on right now and continues at the Lower East Side's Clemente Soto Vela Center through January 12th with different sets almost nightly. Bassist William Parker, pianist David Vireyes, saxophonist James Brandon Lewis, dancer Patricia Nicholson Parker, vocalist Faye Victor, and poet Amina Baraka are all on the list of events, which includes a tribute to the late poet and jazz journalist Amiri Baraka on January 2nd and 3rd. There's a preview on our blog, and we've linked to the full schedule online. Also on the horizon is the annual Winter Jazz Fest, which returns from January 10th through 14th. This year's artist in residence is flutist Nicole Mitchell, who'll have several sets at the festival. Other highlights include talks on jazz protest with saxophonist Archie Shepp and a talk on sexism in jazz. There's also a tribute to Alice Coltrane by saxophonist Ravi Coltrane and the usual Marathon Nights of Music comeback on January 12th and 13th. We'll have more details in the next show and be publishing our annual cheat sheet and review online after it's all done. Stay tuned for all of that. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. If you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too. We'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. Please think about WBAI during the holiday season and give the gift of non-commercial listener-supported radio. By pledging whatever you can, you'll help the station stay on the air, and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. The support WBAI link on our website has details, and we're grateful for any help you can give the station. This is Hank Williams signing off with our bi-weekly schedule. We're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back in the new year on January 7th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
Happy New Year, everybody. At a time when we turn the page on 1 year and look ahead to the future, I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for everything you've done to make America stronger these past 8 years. From the Obama family to yours, have a happy and blessed 2017.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
They will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power.
I've seen this raw strength only once before.
Tune in for A Shortcut, New Year's Eve at 11, here on WBAI-FM, listener-sponsored radio in New York.
I'm Jonathan Brooks. You are listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. best radio station you'll ever hear.
We're gonna take this journey to Bethlehem.
We want to take this journey on bended knee. We're going to take this journey. He'll set us free.
We're gonna take this journey.
Hi, this is Joyce Jones, and I'm on the phone with
Farrah Jasmine Griffin.
Thank you so much, Farrah Jasmine Griffin, for being a part of this discussion about Jerry Allen. What was your introduction to Jerry Allen?
Oh, well, so I was introduced to her music before I actually met her in person. I had a friend who was a musician and a writer, and he was doing a story for Smithsonian Magazine on M-Bass. And this would have been like 1988, 89. I'm dating myself, but it would have been that long ago. And I would come down from graduate school to New York, meet him. We'd go hear the M-Bass concerts, and then we'd go hear the artists in their individual gigs. So like Cassandra, Greg Osby, Steve Coleman. And I remember going down to the Village to hear Jerry and just falling in love with her music. And from then on, following her as an artist. I think the first time I actually met her was at a jazz study group meeting that Bob O'Mealy organized at Columbia. And she came to talk to the group. And then the second time was at a conference in Atlanta organized by Dwight Andrews, who is Jerry's homeboy from Detroit. And I walked in the room. It was a total fangirl moment. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, there's Jerry Allen. We looked at each other, and she looked at me, and she said, oh, you're the woman who wrote that book. And she reached in her bag, and she pulled out my Billie Holiday book.
Wow.
And that was like dream come true, like an artist she was. Love, know who you are, you know. And we became fast friends and sisters and just very close, like we knew each other in another life or something after that.
You're actually the person who introduced me to Jerry Allen. It was something I think that was done at Columbia University.
Yeah. Jerry had this wonderful idea of doing these residencies, both at colleges like Columbia and also at historically black institutions, because she was a proud graduate of Howard. And I helped her set up some of the residencies through colleagues and friends at like Princeton, University of Pennsylvania, Harvard, Yale, Columbia. And we did a great one at Columbia. And I don't know if the other ones were like this, but she would do a master class with students. She would do a concert, her own concert, and then she would always do something with a kind of local high school. And we did, I think it might have been Thurgood Marshall High School or something that we went, she took the whole band to and did like a workshop and kind of performance demonstration there during that residency. But that would have been that moment when you met her.
Yes. And then you joined us on Sugar in My Bowl, both of you. You were more or less the guest host. I was pretty much just the engineer for that show.
I remember that so well. I remember because Jerry picked me up. She came over from Jersey, and she picked me up, and we rode down to the studio. And I just remember we had so much fun there, laughing and talking about the music. And it was just three sisters who love jazz, you know? I mean, it was a wonderful time. I still have photographs you took from that evening.
Excellent. And also, we were three women who were introduced to the music by our fathers.
Absolutely. We discovered that night.
Right.
Because I think that was from one of your good questions, right? And then we all discovered that our fathers introduced us to the music and that it had that kind of personal resonance to us because of our relationship with our dad.
Exactly. Now, what was, I know this is a difficult question, but what is the most memorable time that you have with Jerry Allen?
Oh, wow. There's so many, you know, there's so many that it's hard to pick. But I would say it would have to be the times when she and I collaborated along with Epatha Murchison, and not just the kind of performances that resulted in those collaborations, but the actual work that went into them. And so I can just remember the kind of excitement and the sort of energy and exchange of ideas and creativity journey, whether it be in Ipesa's apartment or at Harlem Stage before our performances there, certainly at the Apollo. Those were really memorable because I sort of remember them in the moment of their happening, and that they took us beyond ourselves and our own individual work to something that we were creating together. And it just felt, you know, I just can't even describe that feeling of that process. So that's probably one of the most memorable memories I have of Jerry.
Now, your role in the tribute that's taking place at Winter Jazz Festival, do you want to share about what you'll be doing?
Well, I wish I could.
Okay.
but I will be just working, and I'll be doing whatever Terry Lynn Carrington wants me to do. And
okay.
I know we've been talking about my writing in relation to the program, and I'm kind of writer on call.
Okay.
And, you know, Terry is really the kind of visionary behind this. And she, like Jerry, they have that talent of just bringing people together and magic happens.
What would you like everyone to remember about Jerry Allen?
Oh, goodness. I think that do not think of her in a kind of one-dimensional way. Think of her in the way that she existed in the world, which, first of all, this tremendous musical talent and thinker about the music, historian of the music. And, you know, her own music is beyond genre. It's uncategorizable as the best of our artists are. And I would like for people to remember her for the innovator that she was. You know, I mean, I think that it's important that we think of her as an important woman in jazz, because that would have been important to her pushing the contributions of women forward. But most importantly, I think, beyond gender, is her role as an innovator. And then the second thing is her commitment to making sure that this music continued to exist and be appreciated in the community of its origin. She was very devoted to not only kind of African-American origins of the music, but of creating spaces where the music continued to be accessible to Black communities and Black youth.
Thank you so much, Dr. Farah Jasmine Griffin, for sharing your memories and experiences with regard to Jerry Allen. And thank you for the introduction, the formal introduction that you gave me to Jerry
well,
Allen.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this and for giving me the opportunity to remember her.
And also, Jerry Allen, she introduced me as well to, on a stronger level, the enormity of the work that Mary Lou Williams presented.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jerry was very devoted to Mary Lou's legacy, to performing her music. She was kind of the leader of the board of the Mary Lou Williams Foundation after Father Peter O'Brien, the number one champion of Mary Lou Williams' legacy.
Would you happen to know what will be happening with that foundation?
It's our hope that we will continue to pursue the kind of goals of Mary Lou and of Father O'Brien. And it's just I think that Jerry's passing took us all aback. And so it's right now, it's just a time of regrouping and regathering and thinking about how to get back on track with the kind of work that the foundation had been doing. So we have an active, very committed board, and that board is committed to seeing that vision continue.
Thanks again, Farah Jasmine Griffin, for all this information and the update on the foundation.
Thank you so much, Joyce. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones. I'm on the line with...
Vijay Iyer.
Vijay Iyer, thank you so much for contributing to this tribute to Jerry Allen.
Of course.
What was your introduction to Jerry Allen?
Well, I first heard some of her albums in the late 80s when I was in college. I think maybe the first thing I heard was the trio that she was in with Paul Motion and Charlie Hayden and their version of Lonely Woman by Ornette Coleman and a lot of other things that really caught my ear. Around that same time, I heard the other trio album that really knocked me out from that same period called Triangular. It was Ralph Peterson's record with her and Essiet. Then I started delving into more of her work from before. There was the album called Twilight, which was totally incredible. This incorporation of electronics and wild grooves and her just real imaginative music making. And I was a teenager at the time. And then I remember actually I was taking a course taught by John Zwed on the history of jazz. And he was bringing musicians up to campus to play for the class, and she was one of them. And so I went, and I went all fanboy when I met her. I met her and introduced myself and said, I don't know if you realize this, but you're a big influence on a lot of musicians my age, and I said some stuff like that and just went on and on. And she was just so humble and, you know, almost shy, like she wouldn't really say much, but she said so much in her music. And years later, I got more chances to meet her, and as I kind of became, I guess you could say, an actual musician a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Once I came to New York in the late 90s, I had more occasions to run into her, and she became a friend, not just a huge influence, but a real nurturing friend and colleague. And she actually gave me her old drum set, which I still have.
Drum set?
Yeah.
Why'd she have a drum set? How did she wind up with a drum set to give to you? Do you know?
I don't know, but she'd had it in the house for a long time. I think it was the one that she would take on the road when they needed drums for her band. And actually, the bass drum head had Jerry Allen Timeline painted on it. So,
wow.
So when she gave it to me, I was like, you should probably keep this drum head. And that was just a few years ago that she passed that off to me. Somehow I'd gotten in her head that I needed to have it, so just kind of honored to have it in the house now. It's sort of like a piece of her life is here. You know?
What is the most memorable time that you had with Jerry Allen?
Well, I think the most memorable time was the time I got to play with her. Well, it happened kind of one and a half times.
Mm.
One was a actual gig we did at the Stone.
Right.
I had a week there, and I got her and Graham involved.
Graham Haynes.
Yeah, so we did a trio. I played Rhodes, she played the piano. I also played a bunch of beats, electronic stuff on my laptop. And there's no recording of it, it just kind of happened. But it was really special. I mean, just to be in the moment making music with her and hear her kind of responding to what was happening and testifying and answering back and comping for me and, you know, like all that, it was basically a dream come true. You know, I think the biggest tragedy for me is that we were supposed to, it's not the biggest tragedy, I mean the biggest tragedy is that she's not with us anymore, and I think about her every day, but one of the things that was supposed to happen next month was that we were going to play a duo concert at SF Jazz on January 18th. That was like on the books and everything. It was going to be me and her and Craig Taborn in sort of different duo configurations.
Wow.
So now we're doing it. As a tribute to her, Chris Davis is going to join us. I wish I'd had that chance to square off just two pianos with her and create some music together.
What would you like everyone to remember about Jerry Allen?
She was a good person. She was really genuinely generous and kind and selfless, you know, and that she was a visionary artist at the same time. And I think those two actually go together. I mean, there are a lot of people who get called visionary artists, but the ones who are really giving of themselves, I mean, I remember this is something that Alice Coltrane said, that the secret to being an artist is giving abundantly, and that's what she did. That's what Jerry did, and not just a drum set that's in my house, but, I mean, all kinds of teachings and affirmations and little kindnesses, and her music as this kind of gift to the world.
Well, thank you so much, Vijay Iyer, for sharing. about Jerry Allen.
Thank you. The biggest thing of all is that at Harvard, we're having a symposium and conference in her honor on February 16th and 17th. That's a weekend. So Friday the 16th, there'll be a panel discussion and then a concert with me and Craig and Chris Davis and Jason Moran doing piano stuff, pianos for Jerry. Huh. And then the next day, there are more panel discussions and a kind of larger scale tribute that Terry Lynn Carrington has organized. That's all happening at Harvard on that middle weekend in February. Perfect timing, Black History Month and everything.
Indeed. So. And people can find out more about the Harvard tribute to Jerry Allen at their website?
On the day of the New York concert, that afternoon, there's a pretty important panel on gender and jazz. You may know about that Terry Lynn organized.
Yes.
That Angela Davis is a part of.
Yes.
You know that?
Right.
I'm going to be on that panel too. That's
oh.
What I mentioned. It's not a women's problem. Actually, it's a men's problem. So.
Well, actually, you were one of the first male artists that I remember seeing speaking on this issue.
You know, oh, yeah?
Yeah. If stuff started to come up, you were probably the first male artist I heard. It was actually...
Oh, do you mean that business about Ethan?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And Robert Glasper, yes.
I think it's more about actually doing things that matter, and so I try to do things that matter. This is another thing that Jerry was a quiet leader on this topic. She didn't do it discursively as much as she did through her actions, like forming a music camp for young women. It was all women faculty. That was like revolutionary, actually.
Was that in New Jersey? Was that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she passed away just before this year's round of it. I haven't heard much about how that went, but I mean, I know that in the previous year or two that it had been happening, it was really an incredible experience for everyone who was involved.
Well, thank you so much for Jay Iyer.
Thank
and,
you.
See you soon.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Hi, Ruth Cameron Hayden.
Hello, Joyce. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Despite this terrible morning after these horrible people passed this tax scam, I'm furious. It's just, yeah. So we all have to work towards getting them all out of office and in jail where they belong.
Indeed.
and reverse, you know, all of this. It's just whoever voted for this guy has been so duped. Terrible.
True that.
Well, now that we're happy. Yes, let's talk about somebody on the opposite end of the spectrum of humanity. You were asking me about my relationship with Jerry Allen, and probably even more specifically about my late husband's relationship with Jerry Allen, my husband being Charlie Hayden.
So what was your introduction to Jerry Allen?
Well, it was along with Charlie in late 1985. Charlie had been invited to bring the Liberation Music Orchestra to Cuba, which was, I don't know how, whoever wangled that got that invitation, because at that point people weren't allowed to go to Cuba, but this was sanctioned. And the person who had been playing piano with the orchestra on a few of the tours prior to that was Amina Claudine Myers. And she couldn't go because Carla, who was the arranger for the orchestra, was very busy with her own projects. So Amina Claudine Myers had been playing piano, and she recommended Jerry Allen to go because she was unavailable at the time. So Jerry came to Cuba with us, and that was the first time Charlie heard her, and his ears went wide open immediately when he heard her and what a unique voice she was. So he immediately asked her if she would like to go on the next Liberation Music Orchestra tour to Europe, which was the following summer. And she agreed, and on that tour, there was Paul Motion playing drums, Dewey Redman on saxophone, Joe Lovano, Tom Harrell, a lot of amazing musicians. And Charlie just always was blown away by her, as I say, creativity and her uniqueness. And so he and Paul were talking about Jerry and how great they thought she was. So they arranged on the tour to have one of the encores be just Jerry and Charlie and Paul, and just do trio. And so that would be the first encore, and then the orchestra would come back and do usually We Shall Overcome, because everybody gets to solo on that. So during that long tour in the summer of 86, they developed, of course, a very good friendship and a collegial relationship, you know, a musical relationship. Actually, Paul got the first recording, I think, on a German label, and then Charlie had been talking to DIW, and so he got them to do the first album. This was like by 89, those trio albums in the Year of the Dragon and Segments on DIW. And I think they had it as Jerry's album with Charlie Hayden and Paul Motion. So they were playing a lot together. And then they went on a tour. It was a lovely tour in the UK. And everything was to be by bus, so it was a leisurely and really great tour, one of those great tours that musicians love, and playing in really nice venues. And Jerry brought along her daughter, who was a baby at the time, Layla, her first daughter, and she would take Layla. She would be cozy in a little bassinet in the wings while Jerry played. And, you know, a lot of those, you know, this is England. A lot of those venues are cold. So I suggested to Jerry, you know, why don't I just stay in the hotel with Layla and babysit so she doesn't get a draft and things like that. So that's what I ended up doing, because I was beginning to manage Charlie at the time. And so I have this special relationship with Layla and, of course, Jerry and I as well from those early days, both with the Liberation Music Orchestra tours and with their trio tours. And she was, as everyone I'm sure knows who knows her, she was very soft-spoken. One would think maybe even timid. But once she was at the piano, this was her terrain, and she knew what she wanted to do and was really brilliant at it. So those were my first impressions and my first meetings with Jerry. And she subsequently started branching out and doing a lot of different projects with many great musicians, in her own projects and following her own voice, and she already was a great musician, but she was able to broaden that and be a remarkable artist and be on the forefront for women as well in jazz that she is, because at her funeral I met several female jazz pianists who said they were very inspired by Jerry. And it was a tremendous loss. She had just a wonderful character and such an honest human being and honesty in her playing. And I think that really, even at the beginning, that was something that Charlie just responded to, because that was something that for him was very important, was that real honesty in playing. She had tremendous character.
What was the most memorable time, if you could actually pinpoint?
If there was one.
Well, I'm sure there were several, but...
There were a lot. Mm-hmm. I think, for me, the times that touched me the most, well, there are two that are interesting. But I'll say the strongest time was when my husband passed away, and she and her manager, Aura, came and performed at the immediate funeral. But they came and stayed with me. They brought food, and we all hung out. And she was so supportive that it's something you don't forget. And she insisted on it, because I knew she had to be other places. And she said, no, I want to do this. And also, when she realized that Charlie was ill, she flew out to spend a day with him and take that extra time. She really wanted to do it. So my memorable times are her humanity. And then another very important time, it was early on, because she was about educating people about race as well. And we were in France, not in Paris, but a festival. And this was in the late 80s. And we just arrived and getting things straight. And Jerry came to Charlie and said, I'm not playing her. And he said, what? No, I won't play if they keep that poster up. And Charlie hadn't even noticed when we looked up. And it was a cartoonish figure from almost the 20s. I mean, it was so reactionary. And, you know, the French thinking, oh, this is a wonderful jazz poster, kind of a caricature of an African-American playing from the old days. And so Charlie immediately went to the promoter and said, you got to take that down. We don't want to see any of those posters anywhere on the festival site. They all have to be taken down. And, you know, they were saying, what? We're not going to do this. And we said, no, we mean it. You know, you guys have to understand, begin to educate yourselves about what racism is about. And that for me was very important, because it was an education for everybody. And this was like the late 80s. So she educated people on that level too.
What would you like everyone to remember about Jerry Allen?
What I would like everyone to remember, first of all, was her unique creative voice and what it did to further the language of jazz. It was a true and honest voice. And also, on a human level, her deep honesty and humanity in her private relationships. And she strived to be a very good mother. She strived to pay back to the community. I just think she had tremendous integrity on all levels. And, of course, she was a very kind person and gentle person, yet she was strong because she had to keep her course in her art form. People are going to try to sway you on all sides, but she kept her course. So she had that quiet strength. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way, a real quiet strength and a wonderful person.
Thank you so much, Ruth Cameron Hayden, for sharing your remembrances, and all the best to you.
Well, thank you so much, and it's an honor to talk about Jerry, and thank you, and I love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
were her twin.
Exactly. I forgot to ask her what time she was born. And I keep forgetting to ask her brother because we were so different.
She's very
so different.
Chill like, and quiet.
Opposite.
Right. It's like Gemini Jerry twin. You're the other twin.
Exactly. Because she was certainly soft-spoken and quiet. And she didn't waste words. She said what she wanted to say. She was very thoughtful, very careful.
But you're
very
both
sweet,
very now. Caring. And very generous. So you share qualities.
Yeah, I guess. Certainly quiet isn't one of them.
No.
And we never got to celebrate our birthdays together.
Oh.
For years, we kept trying to figure out if we could, but she was always away or somewhere or something. So I guess that we didn't get a chance to do that.
My name's Joyce Jones. I'm on the line with
Sheila Anderson.
Sheila Anderson, thank you so much for joining me to share your remembrances of Jerry Allen. When did that happen? How did that happen?
Well, I've been thinking about that, and I think perhaps the first time I met her might have been at Jazz on Bill Grant's tomb.
Oh, what?
Oh, okay.
You don't remember.
Okay. I don't remember the first time I met her. I mean, that's so interesting because I might have met her before that. I think it might have been Grant's tomb, one of the Wednesday Jazz on Bill summer concerts, because she played with Wallace Roney, who she was married to at the time. I would go to her gigs. She didn't do a lot of gigging at that time because she was teaching. She was at Howard. She was one of the busiest musicians I knew. But I would see her when Cecil Brooks opened up his club with Wallace on a somewhat regular basis. New Year, different times, because Cecil was in West Orange. They lived in Montclair. And then I got to see her more later years. We did join the same church. Well, she joined much later than I did, which is how we ended up getting baptized the same day at Bethany Baptist. Over the years, I got to know her more. I emceed some of the concerts, and then I don't remember the year. Maybe it was 2007 or 8. I did a program. I was still on staff at the Newark Museum, manager of public programs, and the museum had a Mayor Bearden exhibit. And they wanted me to have a musical program that went with Bearden and his art and jazz. And I hired her to do the program. And she ended up writing special music for the program.
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. It was quite amazing. She did an incredible program. She brought a musician who she grew up with in Detroit. And Andrews is last name.
Dwight Andrews.
Yes, Dwight. And I said, oh, Dwight. I said, I have family, you know, in Detroit. The Hoods. He said, what? I'm Mason's godfather. I was like, what? So as it turned out, my cousins had a musical group in high school. And Dwight was one of the members of the group. My uncle, Nicholas Hood, was a minister and a councilman and very, very involved in Detroit. Everybody knew Uncle Nick. So it was just another connection Jerry and I had. But the program was so great. A couple of years later, I saw Bob O'Mealy at Columbia, and he was doing a program on Bearden. He showed me the flyer, and I was like, oh, that looks kind of familiar. He's like, I stole it from you. I said, well, that is high praise.
Wow.
That was great. But Jerry was an incredible musician, and also she was an advocate for women in jazz. She started a summer jazz camp for women, young women, all women, actually was through NJPAC. First, she had it at Montclair State, and they would come and spend the week, and they would have clinics and jam sessions and all that. She had me every year as part of a panel because she wanted women to meet professionals, so it wasn't just musicians. And at one point, all the men would have to leave the room, you know, so that we could talk about women's issues and personal things and just, you know, how do you navigate dating, getting married, kids? How do you navigate dealing with men in the industry who are hitting on you? I mean, there was nothing that we couldn't talk about, and I think it was important to, especially for women in jazz, especially the young ones, to hear from other women about their journey within the music and help them. And I think she was so ahead of her time to even come up with that. And she was really instrumental in pushing women empowerment. And that was before, you know, people were, hey, yeah, there's women in jazz. But she really made it her business to do something to encourage and help these young women. She was very committed. I used to ask her all the time, I said, Jerry, how do you do everything? You're a mother, you've got these kids, you're teaching, you're gigging, you're working with Esperanza and Terry Lynn, and then you've got another group, and you do, how do you do it? And she would just smile. She would never give me an answer. I mean, it was amazing, you know. I mean, and then when she was married to Wallace, I said, you got a husband, you know, you got kids, you're teaching in Michigan, you're teaching here. I don't know how she managed to do all that she did. And she never seemed stressed out. If she was, I couldn't tell. I admired her ability to do so much. I said, I'm by myself and I can't do half of what you do. It's just really, really, and she was an incredible musician, incredible person. And I still can't believe that she's not with us anymore on this plane. It's just hard to believe that at 60 she's gone, but she left a mark, not just musically, but those of us who knew her, just really her strength and just quiet. Amazing. An amazing human. That's what I could say about Jerry.
That was everything all in one. Yeah. What would you like everyone to remember about Jerry Allen?
What I would like people to remember is her commitment and her heart and her love for the music and her tenacity, but her quietness. She was a quiet force of nature. She wasn't bombastic. She was there. She was a presence. And she was a calm in a storm. And I just really admired her.
Thank you so much, Sheila Anderson, for sharing your remembrances about Jerry Allen.
Well, thank you for asking me. Thank you.
You're listening to the closing moments of Sugar My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones, and we'd like to thank all the contributors who shared their remembrances of Jerry Allen during this program. I would also like to thank Vijay Iyer for sharing his remembrances and for striving to walk the walk. What you're listening to right now is In Appreciation from Jerry Allen and Timeline Live. This is the 2010 Motema Music release. Jerry Allen on piano, Kenny Davis on bass, Casa Overhaul on drums, and Maurice Chestnut on tap percussion. Before that, you heard I Said from Jameo Brown's Transcendence release. This is a 2013 Motema Music release. Jameo Brown on drums, Jerry Allen on piano, Chris Schaller on guitar, J.D. Allen on tenor saxophone, and Salah Brown on vocals. Before that, we heard Jerry Allen's version of Mary Lou Williams' Gemini from the Mary Lou Williams Collective. This is a 2006 Mary Records release, Zodiac Suite Revisited. Jerry Allen on solo piano on this selection. Before that, we heard No More Mr. Nice Guy from Jerry Allen, Charlie Hayden, Paul Motion. The name of the release is In the Year of the Dragon. This is a JMT Productions release from 1989. Jerry Allen on piano. She's also the composer of this piece. Charlie Hayden on bass and Paul Motion on drums. Before that, we heard another selection from this trio, Dolphy's Dance from Charlie Hayden, Paul Motion, featuring Jerry Allen. The name of the release is Etudes. This is a 1988 soul note release. Before that, we heard Jerry Allen's interpretation of Mary Lou Williams' Pisces. I just love that song. I'm not a Pisces, I don't care. I just love that song, and I love the way both of them perform it. This is also from the Mary Lou Williams Collective, where there is actually a collective. It's just that Jerry Allen plays solo piano on the selections that I play tonight. This, as mentioned, is a 2006 Mary Records release. Before that, we heard Journey to Bethlehem, another selection from Jerry Allen's A Child is Born, the 2011 Motema Music release. Jerry Allen on solo piano, Farrah Jasmine Griffin, PhD, one of the speakers from this evening on Spoken Word. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa. They are scheduled to be next. Sugar My Bowl will be back on January 7th with Faye Victor. She will be featured at the Winter Jazz Festival, so you'll get to learn a little bit about her before her performance. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Happy holidays, everyone. See you next year.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.